Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, reporting live from 502 Cafe. Reporting live from 1923 South 4th Street. It's getting ready. This is Friday. This is my normal hangout spot Friday. Steve, are we going to sit around here and map out the next week? Steve, what are we going to do? We're going to be in here Monday and Tuesday. What are we going to do over this long extended break?
Swim and light fireworks.
You're such an American.
That's a fair assessment.
Such an American. You are a Shepherdsville American.
eat grilled food.
the unhealthiest of the healthy possible foods that you can have.
Look, July 4th, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods. So I may call you.
We can come over
and do the same.
We can definitely make that happen. But people, as for now.
You know, I have American flag swimming trunks.
Who doesn't? Have you been into any retail store lately? They force you to purchase.
I know.
And they're nice and baggy now. Like,
I know.
Now they have a good fits to them. Like, I guarantee
you. I got vacation coming up in July. Third week of July.
There
I'm going to Panama City.
Nobody.
Oh, it's going to be love.
Who doesn't have a pair of American flag swimming trunks right now.
But if something too big happens, man, we're liable just to.
Yeah.
You're liable to turn on the radio and we're on, so.
No, listen, even if it's not radio, we're starting to have other avenues. That's why our partnerships are so special, because when you get us Twitter, you get us Facebook, you get us Instagram.
You get all of us.
You get us live videos and nowhere. You get us on the
radio.
All
of us wants all of you.
You get us on Maben 939 TV. Like, our partnerships extend so far beyond the average radio sponsorship.
Yeah.
People, hint, hint.
Absolutely. I will tattoo your logo on my thigh.
I will not
for
go
the body
that
issue.
Far. But guaranteed, but people.
It's not a big pack. It's the
right now the specialty Omaha. This is called the Omaha portion of the segment, where you go half a slab of St. Louis style ribs, two sides, $10.99. Bang, boom, pow. It's going to be It's going to be better than any of your quick fast food options. The food is going to be ready as fast as your fast food options. It's going to taste better. The environment's going to be better. You have TVs. All you have to do is veer slightly to the left or to the right. Swing on through. The campus traffic is perfect. 1923 South 4th Street.
It's perfect.
It's just a perfect Friday meal. It's a perfect any day meal, but Friday, I have to let you know this is the option you have to take.
And come and see us. We're going to be here.
Always come see us.
We usually sit around for a few minutes after the show.
And you know what you get? You usually get the, hey, man, let me get one of those 93.9 t-shirts. And then we have to do a little bit of negotiation, which is really just, hey, man, come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
No?
Hey, we don't have none right now.
Because they are a hot item.
Yeah.
So, people, when I am able to provide, 93.9 t-shirts, appreciate it.
Right.
So, Steve, I got to say this on air right now, because this is what we do sometimes. My friend Dwayne has just asked me via text message in the middle of the show. People, I tell you how sometimes I'm very, very disappointed when I find out that somebody's missed the show. Dwayne, do you think that I didn't know that John Calipari got turned down? Dwayne, I have a radio show,
yeah,
a sports radio show. It would be impossible for me not to know.
Yeah, but we all have that friend, because, like, I have a buddy. I have a buddy, Clay, that you've met, that is he's a busy.
He paid for my drink. Shout out to Clay.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds about right. So he's a good guy, but, I mean, he does that to me. You know, if something big happens, I can usually time it about 4 or 5 hours later, and I'm going to get a call from an excited Clay. Hey, man. Is Cal going to the Knicks?
Right.
It's 2 a.m. That come out about 6 hours ago.
Right.
Yeah,
we only had 4 hours of joint radio about it. Is there a new hot opinion you have on this situation?
Yeah, so he's not,
we all got that one friend.
That's my point. We all got that friend.
Point being, people, in the mode of damage control, we talked about it. I have to be a professional. I have to reset the show. I know some people, nobody really leaves the show, but people who are just now joining the show, I have to tell you, we started the show as this a big, juicy, delicious dinner, like a 502 cafe style dinner. We didn't even know how to attack this because what you just saw, people, is a chance to say, you're a phony. You're an absolute phony on this one. You reached out to the Knicks. You got denied. You know what Calipari is? I just thought about this, Steve. This is a freestyle on the fly. Cal, you had on your nicest clothes. You're in this club, right? You know you're feeling yourself, right? You got the new suit. You're super clean. You almost got the jacket with the white undershirt, and you got the collar open. You're just enough overdressed to almost look like your management in this club, right? You got the music is playing. It's the perfect song, right? You strolled across that floor, and everybody stared at you. Like, you know, like you're with the, you're coaching the Olympic team. You're feeling yourself.
You gave them the little guns and the wink. Like,
yes, yes. Like, you ladies. Told everybody too. Hey, y'all, watch me go close this deal.
Hey.
So now all your boys are watching you.
See that girl over there?
Everybody in the club. You stand out right now. You strolled across the club. You even did the spin move, the staying alive spin move.
Oh.
You know, just
the,
yes, yes. You have the pimp stroll down across the dance floor, and you walk up to her, and her name is New York Nick.
Ooh,
right. And you
walked
up,
New York Nick,
and you said, "Hey, New York Nick, I noticed you were eyeballing me from across the room."
Yeah,
I can't say I'm offended because I'm not. Just wondering. What took you so long? Hey, how about you and I cut a little rug out here on the dance floor?
Oh, cut a little rug.
Right. And you know what you heard?
You don't have game, do you?
We'll
talk about that after the show.
Right. Are you saying that to me? Or
yes.
Are you saying that? Is that her saying that to him?
No, I'm saying that to you. And we'll discuss that once the show's over.
I was trying to be relatable to all genres.
Yeah, but you out of your heart it speaks, yeah. Man. And that's what you say. So,
so hey. Let's cut up the dance floor.
Yeah.
Sounds a little better.
Oh.
No, thank you. Ew. Ew. Somebody, whose granddad is this?
Yeah.
Get him away. How old are you again, sir?
Yeah. Girl, I wasn't talking to you. I was saying, girl, behind you. Hey, get out of my face.
Steve.
Hey, and then I got to publicly shame her. Hey, did everybody see this girl think I was hollering at her? Hey, everybody in the club.
Get over yourself,
this
girl.
This girl right here thought I was talking to her. I was talking to this lady behind her.
Steve, is that exactly what just happened?
And I will commit to that lady behind her.
100%. Just despite the girl that said no.
Hey, that's my girl.
He is going to go to some other New York Knicks. Some other general manager. Now he has to go somewhere else, right? He has to go. Because now all your boys. Kentucky is all your homeboys that sat at the bar and watched you go do this, right? So now, Steve, at what point do you just leave the club? Do you even go back to the bar from which your boys sent you out from?
I would.
Because it's a bad look.
Yeah, no, I would leave the club immediately. I would say, you know, well. Hey, I didn't want to hurt. I'm going home anyways, man.
I got a phone, man.
I make a lot of money. Man. I don't know if y'all know that. I got to sleep. I got business tomorrow.
Right. Man, I got this phone call. That's the only move you got. Check your phone. And go straight for the door.
I know. Speaking of game, this is a perfect time, I think, to bring on Tino the Barber.
Absolutely.
It's perfect, man.
Tino, thanks for joining us on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's going on, my man?
What's going on? First, I got to set the tone, y'all. I'm about to head to the beach in my American flag swim trunk.
Get it, Tino.
Everybody has the American flag swim trunks.
Right. All right. I'm great. Hit the beach down there. You know, I just got back from the gym doing a few push-ups. But anyway.
Right.
Hey, y'all also forgot to look, you know what Cal probably did after the girl said no? He did, like, the spin move on out the door. You know what I'm saying?
Got
out
of
the car and then hit his boys on the text. hey, y'all, I'm gone, man. Something come up.
No, Tino, you just made me realize. No, he texts his boys and said, yeah, she said, get on out of here. We're going to meet up later on.
Right. Yeah. Heck, hey, man, I mean, my boys, been, my UK buddies been blowing me up, man, talking about, hey, man, that's New York media putting out rumors and all that. No. He flirted.
Yes.
He flirted with the Knicks. He did the flirting. The girl didn't wink at him. The girl didn't look at him. The girl was looking at the dude behind him. And he thought she was looking at him. No, it was him that did that. And then he got his face broke. So now, it's about the kids. It's about the kids. You know how when he was on Mike and Mike, it totally switched to one and done after he – Now, whoever, somebody in my camp might did that, whatever. I don't know who did that. It wasn't me. But this is about the kids. You know, I'm trying to get these kids paid. You know what I mean? That's crazy. Typical cow right there.
No, listen, Tino, I appreciate the call, man. I mean, you're 100% right. Listen, we got a little bit of clip, people. Like, if you don't believe us, if you haven't heard it, if this is the only place that you actually get your information from, I mean, Steve.
No, 100%. By the way, Tino's wife's asleep. You hear the way that man was talking?
Way too reckless.
No, he was quiet. He was like, you know, he calls his boys, and then he did his yelling voice. Hey.
He might be in the hotel lobby.
No, his wife's asleep, man. Hey, do you think, Tino?
Let's go with this clip a little bit.
Yeah.
My phone blew up at 4:45 here, and I had to tweet out, which is great about social media. You can cut stuff off when it's not true. But there's no one that on my behalf to call the next thing.
The great thing about social media is you can cut stuff off when it's not true. As I'm on Mike and Mike at 7:30 in the morning in a panic state. If social media is what you need to stop a rumor from happening, then you send out a tweet, no, it's not me, and that's it. For you to be on there at 7:30 in the morning, that means you said, I need to be on there at 7:30 in the morning. You did not, they didn't just summon you at 7:30 in the morning to discuss New York Knicks rumors, Steve.
No, 100% not. That's what, I mean, he said by his own thing. That's like, you know, like, well, why didn't you just tweet out and be done with it?
And you got?
Nah, it's not me.
Period.
There may be a college coach who has inquired about it. It wasn't me. I called my wife and I said,
there may be a college coach who inquired about it. And it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Mr. Misdirection himself.
Yeah.
How did that sound?
Somebody, I mean, they may have had a college coach call and they thought it was me.
What college coach just calls and says, hey, I want to be the general manager of the New York Knicks? Is there another college coach that you would feel comfortable saying they just contacted the New York Knicks to be their general manager outside of a Rick Pitino? Like, he's the only – there's two coaches in college with the cachet to pull something like that.
That's like me being caught out somewhere I shouldn't be. And lady friend saying, wife, saying, lady friend,
right.
You got to watch. Saying, Steve, was you out there? No, that was Marcus. Wait, no, so you're telling me they mistaked Marcus for you. Yeah, that was Marcus.
It was another 93.
I mean, Marcus may have been out there.
It was the other 93.9 personality.
What are you talking about? What do you mean? I mean, you know, hey, maybe the Knicks received a random call from a college coach this week.
Right. Like, what? Think about that.
I thought it was me.
I'm sorry, but I have lied enough in my life to know that I'm not bringing in some other college coach in this conversation.
Do you think,
out of nowhere?
I mean, if any organization could do this, it's probably the Knicks. But at some point, do you think they hung up the phone and was like, hey, man, we just offered somebody a president's job. Anybody know who we just offered? No? Nobody took a name? It's a college coach. I don't know who it is.
I don't know. I mean, they just called and we told them we're not interested. What was his name? I don't even.
He coaches somewhere in D1. Okay.
Who said D1? We didn't even say
just D1. Just in general.
So you know about this, the excuse that popped into your pretty brain was maybe they got a call from some college coach, but it wasn't me. Steve, that's BS 101.
Well, it's better than his next explanation.
you? Said, no, and I called my son. He hadn't called me back, so maybe my son had. No.
Maybe that was my wife. Oh, maybe that was my kid who called the New York Knicks. Yeah, he is Mr. Calipari, so technically, maybe my son.
Maybe my son that plays on my Division I basketball team who's contacting NBA teams while he shouldn't be. That's a violation. What are you talking about, dude? This is ignorant. This is, you had no explanation.
And people are expected to believe. You see what the media train can do, Steve?
This is great.
You see what the media train can let you do?
I don't even think it's the media train. I think what it will let you do, yes. But this is where I'm going to go back to my thing. That man right there, maybe it was my wife or kid or another college coach.
He, UK Vince, and Butch, they all sound exactly alike.
When they shut, when that man shuts his eyes, every time he looks at, he's over in Egypt right now, and every time he looks at Romeo Langford, I think he sees a vision of Rick Pitino over his shoulder.
Coaching him.
Yeah, I mean, this man shuts his eyes at night and sees Rick Pitino. That's what I heard right there. And people are having a hard time arguing that.
An individual workout, Romeo Langford, under that scenario.
In Egypt, and it's funny that I get thrown into stuff even when I'm out of the country.
We were talking about social media. What does being out of the country have to do with social media? You kidding me? You are coaching the United States of America in Olympic team 3-4 days before the 4th of July, Coach Cal. Do you think you're on another planet? It didn't bother you from talking to Mike and Mike from another country?
Yeah.
Even when I'm in another country, I get thrown into this. Right?
Like you're off the planet.
Like somebody said, you were at the club last night, and I said, well, I'm in Egypt.
Yeah.
I wasn't at the club.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, no, man. You can make a phone call. From Egypt.
Obviously.
And it does make you wonder now why maybe Calipari had the look on his face he did when he said, well, I thought the Knicks were going to take Monk. They took the French kid.
Steve, I'm so glad you did that. I'm so glad we had our pre-show production meeting, because that conspiracy theory that we discussed would have been totally lost on my brain. Because there's so many angles to approach this, people. We talked about this. Steve and I, right after the draft, right after the Cal conversation came out. This is the point of the show. We always have a couple of these where I need you to turn up your radio and listen a little closer, because we're trying to make you a lot smarter. We talked about the only thing, when they asked Coach Cal his opinion on the NBA draft, it was blah, 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 and his one particular point that he made that stood out, right, from Cal. Well, the New York Knicks, I thought they were going to take Malik, and instead they took some French kid, right? That was the poignant conversation that came out of Calipari post-draft. So are we, which even further emphasizes, and to say the least, an attention to the New York Knicks organization. Why do you care? Why do you care? He still went lottery, right? What difference does it make to you? Like, are you worried about the $500,000 that he lost, you know, by not going to the New York Knicks? I mean, did you want him to go play for Phil Jackson, who was still the general manager at the time? Why the hell would you care if Malik Monk went to the Hornets or the Knicks?
Yeah, because, I mean, to be fair, the Hornets may be the better situation right now.
No, not maybe, Steve.
Yeah.
When Phil Jackson was talking about trading Porzingis and Carmelo buying him out, that was a horrible. It was like, what?
Yeah,
would be,
night of. Yeah, no,
what
no,
would
you're
be
right,
your
right.
your vested yeah. interest in what the New York Knicks was doing? And fast forward 7 days later or 10 days later, where, oh no, I didn't contact them. I don't have anything to do, and nobody from my camp, and I have nothing to do with the New York Knicks. What do we look like to you? I mean, are you really going to do that? Like, that's not that. It doesn't make sense, right?
No, I agree.
It makes more sense that he contacted them.
Of course. I mean, and no, that's what I say. Going back, I mean, nobody believes you don't. I mean, look, you see the writing on the wall.
Let's go a little more with this morning's interview. Wait a minute. Did we turn this off a little bit? Come on, Steve. Is my button down?
Nope.
Well.
Just not working.
Just not working. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
I got more to Cal interview.
That's fine. I was tired of listening to him anyway, so.
No, you can't be.
Works out perfect.
Steve. This is disappointing.
Because of what happens for me every year that I'm in that green room trying to help my kids get drafted. You know, I like to have relationships.
Because I'm in the – I'm sorry, people. I'm trying to let you hear this. Because I'm in the green room trying to help my kids get drafted, repeat. See what I'm saying, people? You don't take enough time to detail what this man is saying when he gets a national podium, right? Too much of this gets to go by. But you know what people do? People in this city and in this area, you know what they do? They get Rick Pitino interviews, right?
Yeah.
And they do exactly what I'm doing right now, right?
Yeah.
And they dissect
word
the
for
semantic
word.
Tone of everything Rick Pitino says to find something to hate on the University of Louisville about, right?
Yeah.
But you let things like this get said consistently. I'm in the green room trying to help my kids get drafted, people, as if your presence is going to contribute in the slightest bit on where those kids
yeah.
get drafted after your 6-month pit stop at the University of Kentucky. If anything, your presence is saying the stock has fallen for 90% of your 5 stars from the moment they enter your campus.
With those owners and those GMs and presidents, so that on draft night, I can pick up the phone and call somebody and say, hey, what are you thinking about my guy? You know, we had three.
On draft night, I can call somebody up
yeah.
and say, what do you think about my guy? As if that's the winning, that's the touch to help,
right.
to help my guy, to help this Kentucky player get drafted. Me picking up the phone. New York's not even taking your phone calls,
yeah,
apparently.
Because you know who does that? Who picks up the phone and they call to see what somebody's thinking about their guy? Agents. That's why you hire agents. So are you my agent or are you my college coach?
He's an agent of change, Steve.
Yeah, he's something. He's an agent.
And it starts with an A.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Guys go in the lottery.
What did you have to do with guys going to the lottery? No. Seriously, Steve, I'm asking that question. How much does he have to do with guys going to the lottery?
I mean, you could absolutely argue that a guy the guys that come in, I mean, they're lottery. I mean, that's such an age old argument though. But I mean,
who went from non-lottery to lottery?
I mean, Bam.
You don't think he came in as a lottery?
Oh, came in as a lottery pick. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If they want kids to go out of high school, I'm good with that if they take them in the NBA.
You believe that? I know you have the privilege of hearing the rest of the narrative.
Yeah, and no.
Do you think right now, in that first bit of this clip, do you think he 100% believes that kids should be able to go straight to the pros?
No, he probably believes it because that's the truth. But if that happens, you've now fell down. I mean, Calipari would fall down a notch or two if you lose the one and done. Because, like I said, go back and look over since Calipari's been at Kentucky, Rick Pitino has probably had 5 guys
that would have went straight to the league. And I'll go even maybe six or seven, just because you never know. There may be a certain kid or something that would jump out of nowhere.
How many has Cal had?
Try to find a team where he doesn't have five on it would be more of the question.
That wouldn't be
in college.
That
wouldn't have jumped straight to the league.
That would not be in college.
Yeah, and so, I mean, think about that. Patino, if the one-and-done rule wasn't there, Rick Pitino has his same teams for the most part over the past 8-9 years.
Everybody would 100% agree with what you just said.
Yeah.
His teams are exactly,
the same.
And he admitted, like, he wants good players, but he was not going to play.
You don't get Samardo. You don't get Wayne Blackshear. You don't get a good chance. You don't get Derek Character or maybe even an Earl Clark. And if,
I don't know about Earl.
I don't know.
I think he would have just been the number one recruit. Earl, like everybody else would have left, and he would have been the number one
recruit. And he would have
been
the guy that would have been kind of coming in. So, I mean, you're looking at, okay, and then from there, what, VJ possibly would have went?
Yeah.
So, okay.
You could just squarely say his McDonald's and maybe one other, you know,
for the
McDonald's
most part,
maybe two
other guys. He still
gets
Siva. Sivo's a McDonald's All-American.
He gets Russ.
He gets Russ for
Shane,
sure.
Shane's undersized.
Shane's one I would have put, though.
He would have just went on principle.
Yes,
yeah,
that's why,
if he was second round.
That's why I kind of put Shane in that. But so when you say, okay, well then Louisville.
Shane wasn't a slam dunk going straight.
No. But if you said, well, Louisville wouldn't have won the title, wouldn't have won a championship if they
would
have
got Luke Hancock. Sorry,
yeah,
Luke.
And the team that, you would have got Luke. But the team you're playing.
I don't know, though, Steve. Luke, he was the hot man. He was the hot shooter coming out.
No, you got Luke. And then, but that's my point. I mean, that's about the only guys you can count up that you would say Rick wouldn't have had. So imagine that going forward. That's what I'm saying. No, the one-and-done rule going away scares him to death.
I might force you to back up Calipari on a couple of this, future comments, though. Listen up.
But now I have a problem if they're looking to draft kids out of high school.
Sorry, that was my mistake. 100%, people.
If they want kids to go out of high school, I'm good with that if they take them in the NBA. But now I have a problem if they're looking to draft kids out of high school and put them in the D-League. And the reason is, the NCAA about 10 years ago came up with an academic structure where they raised all these standards. And I was totally against it because I thought we needed to have more of a net, not less of a net. And I thought kids would get caught and it would not be good for kids from different places. So my thing right now, you look back on that, the NCAA did right. Now, how many times have you ever heard me say the NCAA did right? I mean, I don't like that. Now, if you're telling me you're going to pay a kid $20 million to go to the league and you're going to figure it out, that's fine. But I'm not for them using the D-League for high school kids. Not at all. And I will go on record so that if we start doing that and kids as 8th, 9th, and 10th graders choose, I'm not going to go to school. Why would I go to school? I'm going to go to the D-League and be professional. Really? You're going to have 2 years to make it. It'll be a revolving door. It's not minor league baseball where you got three, single A, double A, triple A. If they want to draft kids out of high school and put them directly in the NBA and pay them or go to college for a couple of years, I'm good with that. But not if they're going to use the D-League so that they have the assets themselves. See, I don't see him as assets. I've got someone's child.
Steve? Now, I've worked with you quite some time now. Steve, I know your opinions when it comes to John Calipari. Steve, I believe that John Calipari's opinions line up strictly with yours. Steve, we are going to have a groundbreaking moment because I'm going to listen to you say you 100% agree with everything Coach Calipari just said.
No, not at all. Because if you don't want the NBA, the reason the NBA right now is saying, no, we would rather just let these kids go to the D League is because these kids are going to your school and they're getting zero development coming out of that year. So they're saying, no, we have start developing your freaking kids and maybe then they wouldn't want to send them to the D League.
So if I'm not mistaken, you're saying Cal is almost personally responsible.
100%.
So you believe Adam Silver was talking directly at Coach Calipari?
100%.
You're saying, not developing these kids.
We have kids that are top five picks that are going to your school for a year. They're coming out, and we're going, God, we lost a year of them. I mean, like, you get a guy. I mean, people watch Carl Anthony Towns his freshman year, and they go, or his rookie year, and go, holy crap.
Not just Carl Anthony Towns. Wide receiver. Not Carl Anthony. Who else was on that team?
Devin Booker. Oh. Devin Booker scored 70 in the league. Did you say wide receiver?
My tall guy. I can't think of his name right now.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
Willie Cauley-Stein.
Thank you,
Brian. Were you going to say
that? Yeah, Brian had that one too. But
Did I just call him a wide receiver instead of a, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's the only, but you knew who I was talking about.
No, yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's the thing, man. I mean, you look at that, and if he didn't want him to go to the D League, then start doing something with him when you got him.
Other than letting him.
Shopping him for the NBA teams.
Are you calling him? Yes, because he did confess to that. He
like
did.
A one and done pimp.
Ooh.
I mean, really?
Ooh. And you can't argue with that.
No.
Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number. We're going to elaborate on that one on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We're rolling along. We're rolling along from 502 Cafe. We're rolling along from 1923 South 4th Street. People, right now, 1099. Half slab, St. Louis style ribs. These things are huge. Two sides. Sides could be the main course. $10.99. What are you going to pay for your lunch? How much more can I do for you on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis? This is why you come to this show. Steve Rummage has sacrificed his time because it's going to be a long break. Because we are upon 4th of July, we are working for you. Work for us. Make this thing happen. Let everybody know what show you listen to every day from 10 to 12 and make it happen. People, you can only help spread the word so much. We need work.
Yeah.
It takes work. Dean, thanks for hanging on so long and joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hi, fellas. I just want to make a comment. I just tuned in, so I don't know what you touched on as far as Calipari is concerned. I just caught the last 10 minutes or so. I just wanted to say that, you know, Calipari might be seeing that it might be time to go simply because that's what he's done in the past. He did it in Massachusetts and Memphis, and, he gets out of Dodge just in time. He's had so much talent, and of course people will dispute that and say that, you know, it's so hard to win a national championship, but my God, he has just had unbelievable talent year in and year out. And even though it might be difficult to win a national championship, somewhere along the line, you win despite yourself. And, you know, obviously he did that 5 years ago. But, I guess the thing is one time I had heard that on the radio one time, someone saying that the average.
Oh no!
For 6 years, and then it begins to shut.
Dean, can you reset that comment about 5 seconds? You cut out for a little quick. You said you heard on the radio. Then what?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That the average to slightly average, above average coach will typically have a window of about 5-6 years of success, and then for whatever reason the message gets stale, that type of thing. And I think Calipari falls into that just based on his past. And obviously I think somewhere along the line the fans are going to get a little bit more restless just because he just continues to obsess about having lottery picks but nothing to show for it as far as postseason other than 2012. So that's just my take on it. I mean, the great ones, they say, you know, they can last for decades, and obviously that falls in Krzyzewski and a few others.
Yes, the great ones absolutely can reinvent themselves, and I appreciate the call 100%, Dean. But listen, Steve, Dean is a prime example of why I get mad at the listener sometimes. Dean! I have to call you out, Dean. Dean, I opened the show, and you obviously weren't listening the entire time. You probably have a job. You probably do something very, very important. Dean, my first original statement, modus operandi, the MO of John Calipari, which is undeniable, the MO has been to leave a school 1 year before the roof caves in. If I am a Kentucky fan, a Kentucky supporter, I know the history of my coach. I know exactly. I've seen this movie. I've seen part 1, 2, and 3, right? And when I learn of Calipari calling, not accepting calls, calling, or his camp, allegedly, calling the New York Knicks to inquire about a job that has been vacated less than 48 hours ago, I'm talking about my terror threat alert is on whatever color is the worst color it is.
Yeah, but sometimes his terror threat has been because of his own doing. I don't think that's the case this time. I don't think Kentucky fan necessarily needs to worry about, oh, man, what did he do? I think his terror threat is coming a few miles west. I think his terror threat.
Why did I not see your opinion coming, Steve?
My favorite movie I've used. I feel like I've used a lot lately. The Great White Hype. I mean, James Roper took the overhand right that everybody said.
James Grim Reaper.
James Grim Reaper Roper took the overhand right and looks back up and says, "You trying to embarrass me on TV?" Louisville just took the overhand right. I mean, and this university now, I think, comes out stronger. I think now they're standing there saying, look, you have fine-tooth combed us, and that's all you found?
Yes.
And now Rick's got one of the best teams he's ever had. You got the Heisman Trophy there. I mean, like, you're loaded up.
This was almost a purging. Would you agree?
100%.
This entire thing was the purge. It was the Louisville purge of everything that could possibly hold back the next 20 years of basketball domination has been brought to light.
100%.
Right. And regardless of where our opinions lie on how bad things, you know, are perceived moral wise and success wise, you cannot deny when you're financially audited, when your every individual player that's been a part of this program for the last 10 years has basically been interrogated, right?
No,
you have fair. You have legally, morally, and financially picked apart the entire university, which is going to be in hindsight moment where you say, you know what? Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And that's how I feel now.
And you know what else it does? You and I talk about this all the time.
We do.
You open up your books, you open up your records, and moving forward, everybody who's a part of the program knows what can happen if one thing goes unmarked or one problem goes unchecked. Everybody has to relearn, you know, what's at stake every moment, right?
Right.
And the national perception now is we've seen everything this school has to offer.
Yeah.
So now when this team is winning, when you have a Heisman Trophy winner, and a baseball player of the year in the same academic year, which has never been done in history. And thank goodness that none of this scandal talk fell over into those sports.
Right.
Let me say that. Let me speak that loud and clear. You have no choice but to respect the Lamar Jackson Louisville football player situation. You have no choice but to respect the fact that Brandon McKay is quite possibly the best college player and most accomplished college player in college world baseball history.
Yeah.
With no scandal attached to their names whatsoever.
That's true.
So now when you look at an athletic program, you have to let's say you thought Louisville was doing it some other kind of way. Okay, so you're telling me your baseball team is top, in players, top two in players in the country, right?
Right.
Your football team is top two in the country, player, and you think the basketball is just run amok. Like, stop it.
Right.
You completely have lost your ability to criticize the sports program due to shenanigans.
100%.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Madison, thanks for holding on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Well, I have too, especially the first hour, enjoyed hearing these Kentucky fans kind of splutter over what they've been talking about.
You and everybody else.
But yeah, I totally agree with what y'all are talking about with this kind of being like the Louisville purge, because this is kind of the only leg as of late, especially with our recruiting class in basketball specifically, that we've gotten that Kentucky fans have had to stand on, you know, well, Louisville scandal and blah, blah, blah. Once all this is done and over with and we start dominating, they can't talk any more smack about anything, especially since, like I said, they have one championship in 9 years with the consensus top recruiting class every year. Like, there's a time, and like you were talking about, he did it with UMass and he did it with Memphis. He's leaving because, and I agree with Steve, it's because he's afraid of what's about to go down with Patino. Patino's like full on mobster mode now.
Madison, listen, I appreciate the call.
We need to invite her out.
I 100% agree. She is going to be a resident caller. We're going to have the Madison Minute or something like that for sure. Steve, that hasn't happened.
No, 100%. No, I'm doing it.
And again, listen, you can agree with why, or you can agree or disagree.
Yeah.
Or you can put both ideas together and say they both apply. I can say I see the writing on the wall of my recruiting classes not being as strong. I can look, if I'm Calipari, right, and this is me talking in a hypothetical situation, I can look at Romeo Langford and I can give him my speech and I can give him my spiel. I can be the entertainer, right? I'm up on this stage, every venue I go to, I say, hey oh, and everybody goes, hey oh, and then next year, I do, hey, yo, and the crowd goes, hey, yo. And then the next year, you go, hey, yo, and then go, right?
Yeah.
He looks in Romeo Langford's eyes now, and Romeo's not impressed.
Yeah.
He looks in Mbamba's eyes right now, and Mbamba's not impressed with the Kentucky thing. Right?
No, 100%.
I heard what Midday with Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage said, and I agree with what they said about the Cal situation. Steve Rummage, Marcus Maben, they put that out. They particularly broke down an interview, and I heard what they heard.
Yeah.
And that permeates now.
So now you start getting the kid that can have a 45-inch vertical, but still nobody wants him in the first round.
Oh, which is absolutely
so now
unheard
you start
of.
Getting the kid that says, hey, I need you.
Say that again.
Now he starts getting the kid that says, no, it's not because I want. I need you.
You reek of desperation.
I need you to get me to the league.
That's what we talked about.
Yeah.
We talked about that yesterday. When some people are mad that Louisville doesn't offer a scholarship to every local kid, what did we say? We say these scholarships are valuable. We say you wait to give that scholarship offer. Yeah. You make people earn every bit of your attention.
I played very nice on that today, too.
Say that again.
I said I played nice on the article thing today. So give me props.
100%.
All right.
1,000%. You're absolutely right. Steve.
That was fun. We got a long week.
Long weekend, man.
Long weekend, not long week.
You'll see us out. We'll be out and about.
We will be out and about. Invite us. Become a partner of the show. Become a part of this machine because the machine is rolling. People, 502 Cafe, 1923 South 4th Street. It's rolling along. Come on now. Midday with Marcus Maven, 8150, 93.9 is always the number on 93.9.